So let's come back to the body. Relaxed body. And sink into that awareness. Wow, I'm still alive. I didn't pass away last night. There's a new day. So be aware of your body. And it's very important to relax the body. So when we get up in the morning, because of unpleasant experiences, the body becomes very tense. Of resistance for the moment right now, for the day, the body becomes tense. So relax the body. Any fear, resistance in the mind, try to let go. Wow, I didn't pass away last night. There's a new day. A new day with opportunities for developing my mind. And to generate aspiration. Strong aspiration to practice wisdom and compassion. To practice it today, in your lifetime, for the benefit of all living beings. May everything become beneficial. May turn every situation into the path. Whatever hardship I experience, I see it as the blessings from all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. May I turn it into the path for the benefit of all living beings. You already can feel by setting this motivation that when an obstacle comes in today, it's much easier to take it. Oh wow, great. Opportunity. To develop my mind. So when you think back about the course, the last 9 days, the things you learned, the hardship you went through, it is motivation for the benefit of all living beings. Just wonderful that these conditions came together. But so is everything. It isn't permanent. There is an end. Same with our life. One day it will end. So when you look into the future, how do you feel? How do you go on with your life? Are you going to make a change in your life? There's some things you're going to make priority. Maybe you didn't think about it. or you can make life meaningful. How to live your life more happy. And you want to make some change. And can you make spirituality priority? Maybe you feel, well, I'm too busy. How am I going to integrate spirituality into my life? I'm too busy. Busy what? With what? Just ask yourself. And if you look clearly, then the beings are so busy in this world. And generally, it's all about worldly concern. For your own happiness. Wanted to have more, wanted to have better. Isn't it like this? How we live our life? Or maybe you feel some responsibilities on your shoulders from society, from your mother, from your partner. Oh, I don't have time. And generally, it's about being concerned about this life only, not finding time. So all these things you're so concerned with. How does it feel when suddenly death comes? Because one day death will come. Was it really so important? When you bring it into that awareness? When you have to leave behind all your possessions, all your wealth. Even all your friends, including all your friends you put so much energy into Facebook, and even the body you have to put behind. Leave it behind. He makes spirituality priority. Or simply, can you make your life meaningful? Can be anything. To do something. Like giving service. To work for the happiness of others. To repay their kindness. What can I do? Instead of what can I get? So just a little bit reflecting, yeah? Just like that. Yeah? Because we never reflect, we never think. Yeah? So I'm going to talk a little bit about how to go on. So my personal advice is live day by day. Don't look too much into the future. So when you get up in the morning, really put effort in generating a positive state of mind. So the energy can go from your heart chakra into these channels that support your life. And that brings up positive states of mind. And it brings up less difficulties in your meditations in today. Yeah. I explain this practice. Not to stay too long in bed worrying. Because the energy goes from your heart chakra into polluted channels. And it brings up obstacles in your meditation practice. Also in the day. So the best thing is to get up very early. Even when you, that's what one teacher told me, even when people into business, if they get up too late, then the business will not flourish so much. You become not a good businessman or businesswoman. So getting up very early in the morning, your life is going to be successful. So I get up very early in the morning, 3:30, and I start my practice. So many practitioners, they get up very early. You don't have to get up so early. But the best is to get up before sunrise, because then the energy starts to change. I mean, you're still in your bed with sunrise, then the mind also gets very polluted. When you then get up, when the sun is already up, then your mind is very polluted. It's very difficult to practice. Also, getting up very early in the morning, you have more time for practice. When you get up too late, then the day already, there's too many activities going on. Becomes difficult to make time for practice. So the best is before breakfast. Always, there is no food in the stomach, because there's all the concentration going to be on digesting food. Not much concentration for meditation. You'll be sleepy. And the moment you get out of your bed, put your feet on the floor and say, this is my day, not mom's day, not society day, not my partner's day, my day. And when you're a practitioner, then you know what's important. So don't listen to the world, because it's all about attachment. If you start to develop yourself more and more, you're really going to see that the world is all about attachment. And people really, they're using each other like vegetables. I didn't go so much in this course into attachment. It's not in my meditation topics. But those who had meditations on attachment for me, they know. That 98% is attachment. And there's only 2% love. The people have the mind, what can I get? Instead of what can I do? As a practitioner, you know this is something I have to change. To work on. To bring more love into my life. Often your relationship. It's very important. And also try to take the responsibility for your own happiness. It's very important. Not to rely too much on other people for your happiness. And also when you suffer, don't blame the other. But take responsibility yourself. I think it's very important. So it's one thing what I really see in the world, even in Dharma centers, that we look for mistakes in others. And that we have really less appreciation for what people do. I see it even in Dharma centers. It's sometimes very painful to see. And this comes from the self-cherishing mind, who constantly look for mistakes in others. So making effort in meditation practice to cut through the self-cherishing mind or simply develop love, compassion and wisdom, it's going to be very, very beneficial. Yeah. And that's the medicine actually for everything. Love, compassion and wisdom. Yeah. So this will reduce your attachment, your anger and your ignorance. Yeah. It's very effective to make effort in this. For that you have to make meditation priority in your life. So it's not only on your cushion, but especially when you go into the world, facing other people. Yeah, comes an opportunity to make a change and transformation into your mind. Yeah. And look around, because there's so many practices where you feel you feel connected with. That Buddhism is a big supermarket. It doesn't matter what kind of practice you do, it's all for developing a good heart. Yeah. Developing these positive qualities in the mind. Yeah. It can come through different ways. Yeah. My personal advice is really to go into preliminary practices to purify the mind and to generate, accumulate positive energy. There's a reason why we have these practices within Buddhism. Yeah. That we even say that finish first with preliminary practices before you go into Tantra. Yeah? So it prepares the mind. It purifies the mind. It accumulates positive energy. Yeah? And then you go into more these teachings, a little bit more higher level, even emptiness. Yeah? If you really want to realize emptiness, it doesn't come just by studying. You need the positive energy for this. Yeah? There's some really, really nice retreaters or friends or Rinpoches. Yeah. And then sometimes I'm with them, and then some people, they ask them questions, you know. And there was one man, he asked one Rinpoche question, you know, did you realize emptiness? And Rinpoche said, no. For that you need a lot of merit, positive energy. You know. Yeah. So there's some people... one example is the Kandrala, the oracle. I mean, of course, also from a previous life, she collected a lot of positive energy. And then she was serving like retreaters in Tibet. And she came here. And just into the teaching of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, His Holiness the Dalai Lama only recited the Heart Sutra. And she just bam, she just realized emptiness, certain level. Yeah. And I know her quite well. Because of Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Yeah. And it's just mind-blowing, you know. Just to be in the presence of these teachers. You can really feel that they really have this realization, especially Kandrala. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is very helpful to be mindful in your life. There are certain things in life how do you say this? Let's see. So you have to be mindful in your life. Because certain things you do in your life will only increase your attachment. Will bring you more into the senses. So nowadays, I was really shocked. I went back to Holland for 6 months. I mean, I was really shocked to see the people. Mentally, they're so unstable. It's just unbelievable. I was wondering why. Because nowadays, everybody's watching television from morning till evening. And television is all about attachment, about better, about more. So people get conditioned by this and they're not aware of it. So unstable. I was so unbelievable surprised. That's so such a heavy, negative, disturbing emotions. They were so heavy. Some people I met in the West. It was just mind-blowing. So painful to see. Beside that, also, people constantly on internet. This is also the senses. And the more you go into the senses, the more selfish you become. Yeah? It's like feeding a self-cherishing mind. And there's no space for love, compassion, for wisdom at all. Yeah? If you're so much into the senses, it's like you're like an animal. Only like, what can I get? What can I get? And I even know the world of this. Yeah. I had to deal with some of them. It was so difficult. Because I didn't have a living room when I went back to Holland. So two friends of mine from school, they said, okay, you know, you can stay here underground, you know, in the cellar. You know, so I was staying there. But the disturbing emotions, I was like, wow. Yeah, I had to practice a lot of patience there. And accept, you know, I mean, okay, it's your house, you know, if you make this rule, okay, I accept, you know. If I have to suffer because of this, I accept, you know, what can I do? Yeah. No communication at all. Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Just unbelievable. Yeah. And people don't see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many times it's projection from the pain, and the self-cherishing mind. Wow. Yeah. So much trouble. Not only for themselves, because they were suffering the most. Yeah. And I was starting to give meditation classes, you know, underground. Underground. They're very successful, but they never came, you know. What meditation, you know? unfortunately, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So protect yourself, of course, you know, when I live in a place. Yeah. Also, long time ago in Holland, I didn't have internet. You know? And when I had to do some internet, I went to the library. In Holland, it's for free. You go to the library and their computers, you know. And yeah, I check my mail. That's it, you know. When I needed some information, just go to the library and get the information, you know. And go back home. Yeah. And nowadays also, like porno on internet. So many people. Unbelievable. It's addiction number one now. Mm-hmm. Young children, they're so addicted to this. There's such a heavy mental problems because of this. They cannot function in society anymore. When I was back in Holland, there was a documentary on television. I was shocked to see this. These people about was in England. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And it's normal, of course, that is desire, but try to control it. Protect yourself. Yeah. And when you're with a partner, try to communicate with each other, you know, and tell, okay, you know, I'm with you, you know, I'm not gonna go on porno sites and you know, just make this agreement with your partner. And when it happens, just confess to your partner. No problem. It's really supportive. Yeah. Even friends in Holland, they married, you know, and they told me, you know, and their wife, they know. Like, wow, so painful, you know. So painful. Try to work on it when you have a difficulty with this. Yeah. Yeah. So what is very inspiring is to have your own place to meditate, like an altar you can make. And whatever inspires you, with a nice cushion, with some nice pictures, whatever inspires you. But the best is to have the body, speech, and mind of the Buddha in the room. There's a Buddha statue. But see that it's filled with mantras. You can do this here very easily. There's some places. Monks do this for you. Or just a picture of the Buddha. What would be good, if you put on the back, Om Ahom. Like on the forehead, on the back of the picture, Om. The throat, Ah. And at the heart, Hum. Even adjust the syllables in English. Yeah. But if you're here, you have a nice picture, then just as a monk or somebody who knows how to write Tibetan, to put on the back Om Ahom. The body, speech, and mind of the Buddha. So it represents then the body of the Buddha, having a picture of the Buddha. See that you have a text, for example, like the Heart Sutra, easily on the FPT website you can download, print out a Heart Sutra, or Sutra, whatever, or the Medicine Buddha Puja, whatever. And there's also on your altar, this represents the speech of the Buddha, the Dharma. And then have a stupa. Even it's just a picture. And also on the back, Om Aum. If you can, you know here, you can buy some little stupas. They're only 350 rupees. You bring them to the Gumi monks. And 2 days, they fill them with mantras and the blessings. Of course, the best then would be to go to a lama and get everything blessed, like a statue also. So don't have an empty statue. Because when you go more into practice, and you start to connect with the statue, and it's empty, there are certain spirits that come into the statue, you know, to get attention from your devotion. So when it's filled, and if you have one at home, you think, wow, I don't have the opportunity to fill it, open it, or when it's open, on the FPMT website, there's some mantras you can print out, and you roll it, and you put it in, and then fill it up with incense powder. The empty stage, just fill it up with incense powder. And then close it your own way, even adjust some cardboard or whatever, with some glue. And maybe on the back you put a doje, like a double doje. You know a doje, yeah? No? The vajra. What Vajrasattva has in his hand. But then a cross one, like this, and then like this. So when you put this under the statue, it represents indestructibility. So the statue also going to last a very, very long time. But it's also protection.
What if the statue is not, there is no space inside? It's not hollow.
Right, you can put Om Aum on the back of the statue. So what I do, I got a plastic statue from Bodh Gaya, because Mitrupa, I like Akshobhya a lot. It's also one of the 5 Dhyana Buddhas, with the Vajra like this. And I just drilled here, you have a drilling machine, a hole into it. And then I put some sand mandala, sand from Guhya Samaya inside. And I put it one prayer, I just filled it, rolled it, put it in, and a little bit incense, and then with glue. I put it some carton on top with some glue. That way, it's really more powerful here. And I have many stories. And when I had my yoga center, meditation yoga center, I found a place and I had a look there. The energy was so heavy there. You don't believe. It's like, wow, I'm going to lead my meditations, yoga sessions here. And I said, I'm going to do it, because it's so difficult to find a place. It was so cheap. But it was next to the graveyard. And I think even where they built the house, before it was part of the graveyard. And because some people there told me that there's some bodies under the ground there, because it was next to the graveyard and ancient time. Probably they moved it a little bit. It was very, very heavy, the energy there. And then I came with my stuff, with my Buddhist stuff there, with my statue, my stupa, with some paintings. And the energy completely changed. The energy became very light. And I still remember, sometimes I just walk in, and then you just feel this, like, a relief. So many people started to come, like, 50 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the class started, just to sit there, because of the energy. It's very interesting. At the moment when the owner passed away, I lost the center. They told me, we're going to sell the building, so you have to leave. So I took everything out. At the moment I took everything out, I just was sitting there, and again, this very heavy energy came back. I was really concerned about the person who bought the building, like, ooh. really concerned. And also my own meditation rooms, when I was living in Holland, when I had my own place, I was made like a gompa. Very special, the energy there. Very supportive. So make your own altar, even just in a corner. And only on this cushion, you meditate and maybe to reflect about life, but not sit there with your laptop on Facebook and all these things. And try to be mindful, of course. When you have Facebook, then don't sit 2 hours a day behind it. It's not really making you more happy. Yeah. And also be selective with your friends. Yeah. If you feel like, wow, my friends, they increase in me disturbing emotions. They lead me into not living in morality, even into harmful actions. Then just don't visit them. Yeah. And make time for yourself. Not always look for distractions. Of course, the more you're into the self-cherishing mind, the more you look for distractions. Yeah. The more you're into attachment, the more you look. Please be mindful. Yeah. So many teachers will say, live a simple life. Yeah. A content life. Not always looking for more and more. And what I mentioned about, I don't have a mattress. I'm so happy with this. Wherever I go, you know, I don't need a bed. Just carpet. Doesn't mean that you have to give up your mattress, your bed. Yeah. But the point is, you know, why are you always looking for better, more comfort? Try to be satisfied with what you have. You also will see, when you become content with what you have, then you have much more time for practicing. Yeah. And if you're not content, you will never become content. It doesn't matter what you have. You're always looking for more, for better. Yeah. So to recognize this mind. Yeah, and say, stop, oh wait. Why, you know? Need a better car. And of course, the more you're in the senses, the more you compare with others. I also want to have this. And also about the partner, be very mindful. I mean that the partner is very supportive. Look for the beauty. Yeah? I mean, it's really going to imbalance you. Right? When you find someone and think, wow, what a beautiful person. The person is interested in you. Sometimes it's good to say no. You're too beautiful for me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, honestly, I'm not joking here. Yeah, I remember when I had a very beautiful girlfriend, and sometimes I felt like losing myself, you know? I mean, we probably know this feeling, eh? Yeah. And I'd be very, very kind. Yeah. But actually not kind. It's just you want to have this person, you know, to be with this person. Yeah. And also what the person, you know, if the person wants to do this or that, you just follow, you know, because you don't want to lose the person. You give up your life, you give up your practice. That's for the beauty. Yeah. So try to check the heart. Go for the heart and not for the beauty. Yeah. It's very important. Very important. Huh? And also try to communicate with each other. You know, express your feelings, also your needs. It's very important, and even you find it difficult. Yeah? So my first spiritual teacher was in Holland, my first girlfriend. I was 5 years with her, and I was so close at that time, also my family, never speaking, expressing feeling. I was suppressing. And she always, Richard, tell me what you feel. And I don't know. You know, I also was walking like this, very shy, very shy. So she really opened me up. Such a relief. Wow. And also your needs. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know. What kind of needs? Express them. Let your other know. Yeah. Recently when I was back in Holland, 2 people came to me. You know, and I was many times with this girl. Yeah. And many have had a relationship with her. I was, you know, she's like my sister. And now she was with this man for 7 years. And she told me, Richard, you know, and they broke up, and he expressed his feelings, his deep needs, you know, after 7 years, with sexual desire, actually. He was suppressing his sexual desire for 7 years. Like, wow, can't believe this, I would die. You know, wow, let the other know, and whatever. If you think like, wow, this is strange, you know. No, don't suppress it, express it. Express it, let the other know. Very important. Yeah. And also in a relationship, give each other the freedom. You know, I remember like 6 years ago, I was living together with this very famous dance woman. Very beautiful woman. Maybe too beautiful. I just felt enriched. I want to dance in the night, you know. I want to go out and go dancing. I said, okay, please go, you know. And first it was depressing, and she didn't tell me, you know. And then I felt some irritation come and said, what's going on? And this came up because she felt like dancing, going out in the night. I said, it's not my thing, you know. If you want to go, I mean, please go. So I brought her to the dancing, and then I went back, I went to bed. And 3, 4 o'clock in the night, she phoned me, and I just picked her up. Many times she was even drunk, you know. And I told, of course, you know, it's your thing, you know. Right. Of course, it hurts me a little bit, or I'm not so happy with it, but if that's your thing, you know, then live your life, you know. Of course, in relationships, there are borders, you know. I mean, you cannot go with someone else, of course. You know, that hurts, you know. Because you have to respect, of course, you know, in a relationship. You know. Not to harm each other, you know. But communicate, express your feelings, even if it's painful. If you fall in love with someone else, you know, at your work, just express that you ought to know. A lot of pressure is going to be away. Yeah? And by expressing it, yeah, and there's also a big chance that nothing will happen, yeah, with the person at your work. It's normal that we feel attracted, say, to others. Yeah? Very normal. Yeah? As things happen, it's very normal. Yeah? If you express it, you know, then... Yeah. The energy flows again. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also feel when you express with each other and really support each other, and that the energy can flow. Yeah. When you start to claim each other, then relationship doesn't work. Yeah. Yeah. Then things will happen that the other person will find someone else. Yeah. Yeah. That's really like this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, maybe you heard about the 5 vows. People who take refuge, they can take the vows. One, two, or all 5. And there's a reason these vows. You don't have to take refuge or become a Buddhist. Of course, become a Buddha, yeah. But these vows, they really support your spiritual life. It's no killing, no stealing, no lying, no sexual misconduct, and no use of intoxicants. Yeah? So no killing is very obvious. Yeah? Yeah. It harms others, but also it harms yourself, because killing, like killing mosquitoes, is aversion in the mind. Yeah? And if you kill mosquitoes all your life, it's like filling up a bucket. Yeah? Like drops of water. Yeah. At the end, it becomes quite heavy, and there's maybe a big chance that next life, your life is going to be short, even just killing insects, you know. If you kill a lot of them, it's like the bucket gets full with drops of water. Yeah. And if you killed in your past, you can purify this. There are many purification practices. So don't worry. That's the positive side of karma. You can purify it. Doesn't matter how heavy. Yeah. So no lying. Yeah, you also can know that this harms a lot when you have a partner and would lie to you. Wow, that's so painful. Living together with someone, settled into a house, and then to find out your partner is lying to you. Very painful. Besides that, you also have always to remember what you said to the people. That brings a lot of disturbance in the emotion and in your minds. Yeah? It's very difficult to meditate then. So no stealing is also obvious. It harms a lot. And also you go around, you know, is there something for me? What can I take? You know, also brings a lot of disturbance in the mind. Yeah. So no sexual misconduct is also obvious. It's so disrespectful to your partner. I think even going on internet, when you have a partner. Try to solve it, you know. I mean, honestly, you know. There's some ways, you can find many different ways to work with this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Many different ways, actually. Yeah. Yeah. And also try to control, if you're, of course, your sexual life. I mean, I mean, three times a day sex is a little bit too much. Yeah, honestly, yeah. It's not healthy. Yeah, it's not healthy. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe just when you fall in love, yeah. Understandable, yeah. But yeah. It should not be the base of your attachment. I had it many times when I was with someone that the person really started to cling because of the sex, you know. Think, wow, what is this? This is on the basis of the sex, you know. What's going on here? I mean, it's not worthwhile to keep this relationship. Yeah? Definitely not. Yeah. Yeah. So now in toxidins, yeah, it becomes very difficult to meditate. Yeah. When you drink a lot. So now and then, a wine or maybe a beer, I don't know. Yeah. That's okay. But try to be mindful of this. Yeah. Also by drinking, people who drink a lot, you lose a lot of energy. Not because of the alcohol, because of spirits who come to take your energy away. They suck your energy out of your body when you drink too much. And I even have one personal experience when I went to one retreat place next to the Mount Everest. I was walking to Sulukumbu and I came into this, I was alone. And I had to knock on the doors, you know, for a sleeping place in the night. It was a village. It was like a dead village. The energy was so weird there. So I went into the house there. There were only living maybe 8 people, not more. And in the house, there was one child and a man, probably the daughter. I could not speak with the people, English. They didn't understand English. And then the child was making on the pot, on the fire, something. And it was alcohol, you know. She took a cup and gave it to the dad. And the dad started to drink. And the moment he started to drink, yeah, a very huge, big spirit came into the room. Yeah, and I saw it, really, how it sucked the energy out of this person. And the person just like this. And I saw his energy completely sinking in. So the spirit, who was living in this valley, yeah, was like the landlord there, the spirit landlord, had control over the people. So he was feeding himself, taking the energy from the people out. So the people were actually, they were there like captured because of the spirit who was feeding himself. Oh, unbelievable to see. I couldn't believe. And I saw this. And I was sitting there, I think, what can I do? I'm leaving tomorrow morning, you know. And besides, I was a very powerful spirit because I can do protection prayers and I mean, just compassion, you know. I mean, I'm leaving the next morning, I'm leaving, you know. I mean, I can do nothing, you know. Yeah. It's shocking to see this. I know teachers told me before this, you know, that this happens. One teacher told me, personally, that he passed in the West, was in the West, and he passed a cafeteria, you know, and he looked inside and he's like, whoa, you know. And he saw people drinking, and he saw many. Like this, he could see the spirit also. He saw hanging over, you know, other people who were drunk, you know, in this cafeteria. He said it was full with spirit, feeding himself. Amazing. Yeah. You can feel also the energy feels very unpleasant. When you become sensitive and you walk into a cafeteria where people are drunk, you know, or when you're in the presence of people who are drunk, if you become sensitive, you're going to feel it. Yeah, you're really going to feel it. Yeah. It's more like a high energy. Not pleasant energy. Yeah. They have very high energy in general. Yeah. Yeah. So, did I go to more? And you, of course, have the 6 perfections. Yeah. And especially the first 2, I remember recently with Dimlotra Rinpoche that he mentioned, you know, please try to practice generosity and morality. Morality becomes the cause for perfect human rebirth again. And generosity, he mentioned, you know, you have to create the causes, you know, for wealth. Because without financial support, it becomes very difficult to practice. Yeah, very difficult. If you constantly have to worry about money, very difficult. Yeah. And honestly, this is really one of my main practices. I really love generosity a lot. Yeah. And I was surprised. I was recently back in Holland, and I came in debt there because the government didn't give me any money. I tried to find a job, by the way. I really did my best, but in the south of Holland, forget it. Yeah. So I started to give yoga classes for free. And afterwards I said, okay, people would like to give a donation for my travel. And so I got a little bit of money. So I came, I went to Bodhgaya for one retreat with one teacher. And I was at the stupa, you know, and I got this money from Holland. And I felt really like, wow, you know, I want to be generous. So I gave almost like 500 euro, you know, like I would like bills of 100 rupees to all the prostrators there. A couple of days I did this. So I finished my money. I thought, I'm now here at the stupa where the Buddha became enlightened. You know, it would be silly not to make money, not to be generous. And then, oh, now I spent all my money. I think, no problem, I go back to Tushita. So, I mean, I don't have any cost there. But in Bodhgaya, suddenly there was one man, he gave me 20,000 rupees. You know, just like, I just want to support you. And then in the retreat, there was a Dutch man with his wife, and he spoke with my friend. And suddenly he gave me $300. Just out of nothing. I even didn't speak with this person. So it came very fast back in a way. And then I came here, and there was the nun who wanted to go to the Kala Chakra, was coming, and she didn't have money. And the teacher told her to go there. And then I gave her, I just sponsored her this, you know, just gave the money to her, you know. And honestly, we have to create the courses. Yeah? And if you have a job, yeah? And I know in the West it's not easy, but you know here, you know, there's so many donation boxes. Yeah? Boxes, you know, even in town, when you go around, or you see a practitioner, or even just 100 rupees. What's 100 rupees, honestly? And we have some income, yeah? Many teachers say, give a part of your income to charity. And try to do this. I think very important. Yeah. Also, when I was in Holland, when I had some income, I always gave. Normally it was like to Africa and these kind of organizations. But try to practice. It's very important. Yeah. Instead of buying a new car, when still the car is running, actually okay, try to be generous. Yeah. It's very important. Yeah. So try to live day by day. I think it's very important. Yeah. And if there's a day you think like, oh, I didn't do any practice, you know, oh, I make a very big mess, there was a lot of anger and attachment. Okay, tomorrow's a new day. Yeah. You get up in the morning and try to make the day beneficial. Don't blame yourself. And start maybe with 10 minutes, 30 minutes meditation, not more. Try to enjoy it. Don't push too hard. And trying to find some supportive people. Because when you leave your friends, there's an opening and new friends will come. You will see. Honestly. Especially when you develop a good heart. Everybody wants to be friends with you. Everyone. You will not be lonely at all. And other people are very lonely. Is there a question?
Yes. You said there were practices to remove dullness.
To avoid dullness or? Yes, first of all, it's good to get the energy go into your body by doing something physical. It's very good. So in the day, even to do something physical. I like prostrations a lot. It was a little bit difficult now, but when I was in Holland, then you know I always do prostrations. The first thing I do in the morning, normally. Oh yeah, good that you mentioned about practice. Of course, I'm a lot into practice. And if you can connect with the merit field every day before your practice, it's so powerful. So they say that practicing on the Lam Rim, like on the compassion side, the wisdom side, it takes a long time to make a change. Yeah? Change comes. You will feel it even. It will come quite fast also in a way when you make effort. But when you connect with the merit field, before you start your session, then realizations come much easier, much faster you make progression because of the blessings, the connection with the merit field. I even can feel it when I connect with the merit field. There's something is there. The energy change even. So making effort in this. The merit field, the refuge tree, you can say. So dullness, first of all, it's so important to have a good teacher when you especially practice mindfulness, because it comes into mindfulness practice. It's there where you can make the dullness more stronger. So bring more concentration. Decide not to sink into dullness. Lift you up out of this energy. You can feel it when the energy is there. When you feel like, wow, I cannot get out of this energy, then stop the meditation, even move the body. See that the body is not too warm. And throw some cold water in your face. And sit back.
The standard thing is also a big topic for me. I told you yesterday about this feeling I had.
Yes.
And it felt so very good, and I was very happy to ask you about it, because now I know that standard is a problem. What about the thing, I don't know, maybe some of the other guys do during meditations, I get warm. Normally I would think when you meditate, you start breathing slow, your heartbeat should go low, so you should get cold actually, just from the physical side,
yes,
from my point of view. But sometimes
it's the subtle energy. It's the subtle energy. First of all, when the body start, when the energy inside that's stuck, get dissolved, or when it starts to transform, it manifests in body sensation, manifests in more thoughts, manifests in memories that can come up, but also manifests in body sensations like heat. But also when you sit, not in meditation or in daily life, the body goes a little bit like this. And when you sit in meditation, you start to relax the body. Then you can imagine already when I do like this, and suddenly the energy starts to flow again.
It's nothing bad. No,
definitely not. No. Even sometimes people have like sweating, like, wow, it's really like, especially the energy that's stuck in the body, a blockage that suddenly starts to transform, can manifest in heat.
I was wondering, I was sometimes starting to sweat during meditation. I was thinking, what, I'm not doing sports?
Yes, they're right. But check your mind, that's there where you can feel the dullness.
It's just a bit connection with the heat. I heard that also people with really so not so big warm clothes, and they spend a lot of time in cold places and they have no problem with cold.
It's inner heat meditation. This is tantric practice. This is a very powerful practice. And you work with your central channel, with the energy, to bring the energy there. Very subtle body.
Then another question, sounds stupid, but why am I not hungry? Normally I eat 4 or 5 times a day.
Yes, with the precepts. That's the blessing of the ceremony. I'm not joking, honestly. This is really the blessing of the ceremony. So also when I take, I have less desire when I on precepts. And when I don't take them, I feel more attachment comes into my mind. It's really the blessing. It's a ceremony that comes from the Buddha. There's a lineage power. There's really power into this. And not only this, it has been blessed over the time by so many realized beings. Like the mantras, for example. It's interesting, isn't it? Of course, many of you maybe think like, well, Richard sometimes speaks a little bit too hocus pocus. But honestly, I'm very close to the teacher. I saw things, you know, and I don't believe in anything. But I saw things, I experienced things myself in the presence of teachers. I think, like, wow, mind blowing. You know, even spirits, you know, like, oh, you know, spirits. And recently, I saw in the West, you know, about spirits, a documentary, like Western people went with their instruments, you know, try to go to haunted houses, and, well, we don't see anything on instruments. You know, of course, you know, instruments cannot touch it, even don't get in touch with the mind, you know. No, but when I was here, the last 6 years, I got a lot of experiences with spirits, and you know, even could feel them, and yeah, and even saw with other people, and I went with lamas, with teachers, you know. One was possessed, you know, and then really one person really possessed, you know, and I saw, and he came to me, and so I arranged an audience with Dim Lotsa Rinpoche. Straight went to Dim Lotsa Rinpoche, and I saw how he took this spirit out of this body. It was amazing to see, you know. And this man, you know, he was a very strong man, a scientist actually from England. He was really surprised himself, you know. And he wrote me many emails, like, you know, what an experience, you know. Yeah. And myself, I got one time that I was staying in a house where they do very strange rituals. I missed the bus, so, you know, so I just opened the door, and they gave me the puja room to sleep. But they did very weird stuff that I saw already, like, ooh, God. And the moment I fell asleep, like, boom, I got pushed into the bed, and I tried to get up, didn't work. My service to deity didn't work. It was very interesting, and because such a powerful spirit that I could see his face, not through the eyes, but through in my mind. Yeah. And I was even not scared, I was surprised. And then suddenly, you know, I tried myself, nothing worked. You know, my service to deity, but this was like 5 years, 6 years ago. And then suddenly, what happened, out of nothing, I could see it in my mind. Suddenly I saw the face of Guru Rinpoche. Really. And in that second, yeah, it was boom, got kicked out of the room. And in the morning I went up, you know, my body was painful. My muscles, as if I was falling down from 5 meters. And I felt pain in my heart chakra. So I went to one Geshe-la, and he's clairvoyant. So the moment I walked in there, he said, you are sleeping like this. Don't stay the night there, he told me. Ask me for trouble. I was actually troubling this powerful spirit who was living there, because I was doing my practice, you know. I know some practice in my heart, and I was visualizing all the Buddhas above, all these worldly beings, so they become, in a way, I think, a little bit upset. And I'm in a different energy also. You know? Yeah. It was a good experience, you know, because I also didn't believe in this until you experience yourself, right? And become more sensitive, yeah. There's a spirit realm, but also beings in the intimate state. So intimate state is 49 days, but then after that you can also be trodden into the hungry ghost realm, like a spirit. There are many different, like the animal realm, so many different animals. And that way. Yeah. But I don't want to go too much in this, because then again I get into trouble. You sure? You came with your spirit stories? So I always have to cut this down. I'm sorry. So, honestly, try to make effort. Honestly. Because I told you already before, I was the most miserable person in the world. My body gave even up on me. And my mind was so miserable, you don't believe. So miserable. A lot of fear I had. I also took refuge in my partner, and my girlfriends at that time. In sexuality a lot, too much. So you do much better than me. And really try to make effort. Let's keep the mind in the direction, and the result will come. And if you really can open your heart, especially with the refuge tree, if you start to feel connected with this, there's a support, you don't believe, a protection. Your life really can become guided. Honestly. If you know, when I look into my life, I see so much guidance. I was 2 years also back in Holland, Kandola told me, you know, to go back to Holland. Like, you know. So I went back to Holland. I was staying with Geshe-la, and I didn't know that Geshe-la was actually dying. He was actually very healthy. So I had some time with him, like 5 months with him. It was very nice. And then when I left, he passed away a couple of weeks later. I was very lucky. And in that time, when I was there, I was trying to get a student visa just to come back to India, because somebody from Holland only get 3 months visa, nothing more. So I said, oh, Geshe-la, you know, please, can you do some fire pujas for me? And he said, yes. So he went to a place to do fire pujas in the Dharma Center. He's also FPMT teacher. He was already in his 80s. He got his pension. And it didn't work out. I didn't get the visa. And I guess what's going on? And he said, you know, you got the blessing, he said. You really got the blessings from the Buddha, the Bodhisattvas, you know. And what's the best for you? So I didn't get my visa. So I had to go to Nepal, you know. And there I received new teachings, new transmissions. You know, I met some new teachers. Very special teachings, actually, I got. And then I came here for 3 months, and again I had to leave. And again I discovered some new practice there. It's a very secret practice that the teacher only gives. He gave it because he wanted to keep the tradition alive. So he gave it actually to all the monks in the Kagyu tradition. Yeah. So it became a blessing. Yeah. And I did a lot of pilgrimage. Yeah. And I came back. Yeah. So it became like a blessing also. It had to be there, you know. It was more beneficial than getting this 1 year visa for being Tushita. So going on pilgrimage is also something that is very beneficial, especially in Nepal. Try to visit these three stupas, Namo Buddha, Bodha, and Swambhu. Really try to visit them. Even Lama Zopa Rinpoche mentioned, try to visit these stupas. It becomes really like a blessing. Oh, I'm so sorry, you're all hungry, yeah?
No.
Yeah?
Which one is in the car?
Sorry? I come back, sorry.
You were talking about Nepal, is in the catchment with the big one where you can...
It's Bodha. So I love Swambhu. I'm completely in love with this stupa. When I'm there, I'm not doing the upper kora circumambulation, but the big one, the outer kora. It's 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I send many times people there who are not into the Dharma at all, and they go around and they tell me, yes, it does something with my mind. What's going on? Wow. And they're even not into the Dharma. Like some tourists, I always try to... Put them on the kora. Yes, they call it the monkey temple.
Monkey
temple.
Yeah.
Yes. Namo Buddha, Swambhu. Yes, they call it the monkey temple because there's so many monkeys. And Bodha. Yeah. And and of course, if you can, try to visit Buddha Gaya, yes, the place where the Buddha became enlightened. The stupa there, it's amazing. If you do practice there, it's, they say, 7 times more powerful. You can really feel it. Yeah. The first time when I came there, 15 years ago, not into practice, I came there and I started to suffer. Just, it pulls out the suffering. Amazing. Just be there. So many people want to run away also, you know, there. Because too much coming up.
Is it a very crowded place? Like, it takes
no.
really long to get in?
No.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to go, but someone told me it would take you really long.
Time. Only like December and... No, it's not. No long queues or no.
Okay.
No. It's really what a blessing. Wow.
It's like, but 9 and 4 hours drive, it's not come to bear. I mean, you can take a direct flight to Patna and then I...
Yes, it's true.
Drive
or less, I think, even.
3 and a half.
Because the airport is very close. I think you can see the airport even. It's very close, actually. Maybe 20 minutes or... it's really close there. Maybe 30 minutes. Yeah, I think I have to finish here. It's getting so late. Please take the essence, honestly. Yeah. And I did many divinations with my teachers, you know, and then asked them, is it beneficial to work in Tushita, go back to Holland, or do we retreat? And I say, working at the Shita, going back to Holland, you know, to lead meditations there, is he said, it's almost the same. But the best thing, they tell me, is doing retreat. Yeah. So you don't have to become a meditation leader. If you can make time for retreat, it's the most beneficial even. Yeah. And you can think like, wow, Richard benefits so many people, or just leading the meditations, what I can, much as I can. Yeah, but still, they say, you know, going into retreat is even more beneficial. It's not only this life. Many, many, many lives. Yeah. And if you had a look in this book, then you understand you have to create the causes. And these causes really become a cause for enlightenment. Yeah. Give fruit. Yeah. Like the sutra stories here. Yeah. So really, thank you so much for coming here and making this effort. Yeah, because I know it's going to give more happiness, more love, compassion, wisdom into the world. Yeah. And also this way you keep the teachings alive. Because when we would not sit here, we as Westerners and Indians, then the teachers would be already finished in a way. Because Tibetans nowadays, young Tibetans, not really interested anymore. Unfortunately. Mm. Unfortunately, yeah. They watch television and they're like, oh, I want to go to America. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. But it's not really true, because when you go more into Ladakh and some places, villages, they really see young people also practicing. Yeah. Very devoted people also. Yeah. But nowadays, with all these media, understandable. Start daydreaming. Thank you so much. Take care. Yeah. Please take care of the mind.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.